Howie Hawkins is widely viewed as the first candidate for public office in the United States to raise a Green New Deal in his 2010 Green Party gubernatorial campaign in New York. Howie spoke at a Green New Deal forum at the Albany Public Library on Saturday, March 9th. This is the first of a three-part segment from the Hudson Mohawk News magazine.
Based on the climate science, we have to get below 350 parts per million carbon equivalents in the atmosphere. We're now at 407. That was the reading last year. We basically have 6.5 years of carbon budget left based on what we emitted last year to stay below the threshold that will have a 50-50 chance of capping the rise in climate temperature rise at 1.5 degrees, which is the highest aspiration came out of the Paris Accords in 2015, but is still dangerous climate change. Climate scientists like James Hansen will tell you between climate system inertia and the positive feedback, like when the Arctic ice melts, instead of the ice and snow reflecting heat back into the atmosphere, it's absorbed by the darker ocean, which accelerates global warming. Because of those reasons, we get to 1.5 or 2 degrees, we're going to get to 3 or 4 degrees, at which point we're basically cooked, literally. What this crisis means is mass extinctions and ecosystems collapse, the end of agriculture that can feed the population we have, widespread poverty, social conflict, and wars for what's left. And that's by 2050. With ocean acidification and the destruction of phytoplankton, which provide 2/3 of the oxygen in the atmosphere, we're facing basically suffocating to death by the year 2100, according to some scientists. And meanwhile, the politicians act like we can't afford to deal with this crisis. We can't afford not to. So I may have been the first U.S. politician to campaign for a Green New Deal, but I really got it from the Green parties in Europe. I actually drafted a plank for the Green Party USA in 2000 called a Global Green Deal. And we said Green Deal instead of New Deal because we had problems with the Democrats. But it was basically a combination. It basically said the U.S. should be the world's humanitarian superpower and should rebuild the world economy and try to end poverty by building a clean energy system. And instead of being the world's police force for making the world safe for exploitation of people in nature by global corporations. So in 2007, a man named Colin Hines, who had been the former head of Greenpeace's International Economics Unit, and Larry Elliott, who was the Guardian economics editor, started talking about a Green New Deal to address what we now know as the Great Recession, which was emerging then. Meanwhile, there was a macroeconomic stimulus with clean energy as the centerpiece. Meanwhile, Thomas Friedman, uber capitalist and imperialist columnist at the New York Times, used the phrase, but he used it for all of the above energy policy. He wasn't so concerned with the climate crisis as oil independence. At that time, we were still worried about running out of oil. This was before fracking. So he included ethanol, biodiesel, which released carbon, clean coal, which hasn't been invented yet, and nuclear power. He quotes the chairman of the now bankrupt PG&E, you've heard about that in California, and basically proposed regulations and carbon prices, which are needed, but didn't talk about public investment, and no link to economic security programs, which is what our Green New Deal is about, because if we're gonna build a coalition to get the climate action we need passed, we've gotta get people behind us, and they need to be assured of their economic security, or we'll get resistance like we got with the fracking referendum in Colorado, the carbon tax referendum in Washington last year, or the reaction of the yellow vests in France to the carbon tax while Macron, the leader of France, was cutting taxes on the rich. So it's got to have an economic justice component. And then Friedman returned to the Green New Deal this year and he said, I want to recast green as geostrategic, capitalistic, economical, innovative, and patriotic. A Green New Deal, in other words, is a strategy for American national security, et cetera, economic leadership in the 21st century. I believe there is only one thing as big as Mother Nature, and that is Father Greed, a.k.a. the market. I am a green capitalist. That's not what we've been talking about. As this thing developed in 2008, Jeff Biggers, who's written a lot about Appalachia, had a column in Huffington Post, where he called on Obama to do a Green New Deal to get beyond the racial divide that was dividing blacks and whites in the Rust Belt, blaming each other, and in Appalachia for the economic problems we were having. And this, you know, Green New Deal, green energy investment was a way to give everybody jobs. Obama, contrary to what you've read in the press, thanks to, I think it started by Alexander Kaufman about a year ago, never used the phrase Green New Deal. He did have some green investments in his economic stimulus, but it was never linked to the economic justice in the way we are. So it really got going when in the Green Party of England and Wales, Caroline Lucas, who at that time was a Green member of the European Parliament, is now a Green member of the UK Parliament, wrote an article called Wanted, a Green New Deal, that was in The Guardian in April 2008. And then in July, Colin Hines, along with Caroline and others, released a plan which called for government-led job creation, investment in clean through investment in clean energy, progressive tax reforms, a windfall oil profits tax, a crackdown on corporate tax evasion and offshore havens, and financial sector reforms, including breaking up the big banks in Britain, opening up green public banks for clean energy financing, and capital controls on the flow of capital in and out of the country, and also the financial sector and strategic industries. It was more the kind of socialist program that European labor and socialist parties used to be for. And then in March of that year, or the next year, the United Nations Environmental Program, now facing the consequences of the Great Recession, called for a similar global Green New Deal. And then in September, the European Green Parties campaigned on a Green New Deal for the European Parliament, and they've been doing so ever since. They're campaigning right now on it for elections in May this year. So I think one point I want people to take home is that it's key that we link climate security and economic security. As I said, that's the only basis for having a coalition where we can get any of these things passed. And, you know, I was hesitant when I, and Greens were hesitant when I suggested we run on the Green New Deal in 2010 for the gubernatorial campaign, because we had a lot of problems with the old New Deal. It was racist. It was affirmative action for white people, which is the title of a book by Ira Katznelson, and we can go into the details of that. It didn't get us out of the Depression. World War II did. It wasn't a big enough stimulus. The economic rights like health care and the job guarantee, which had started being discussed by the Committee on Economic Security in the Roosevelt administration in 1935, were not implemented and never have been by the Democrats, although they've put it in their platforms many times. But I argued that we could appeal to Democratic voters who really think the Democrats should be for that, and, you know, they've never implemented it. I was going to tell you about the details of our Green New Deal in 2010. We called for 100% clean energy by 2020. That was based on the science at that time from James Hansen and the German Advisory Council on Climate Change, and also feasibility studies done by Zero Carbon Australia. We've since kicked that up to 2030 based on later studies and feasibility studies, and because a decade has since passed. But 2030 is really pushing it. And we really had a problem in that in this state, the Democrats are backing a bill called the Climate and Community Protection Act, which waits till 2050, doesn't ban fossil fuel infrastructure. It is not a serious program. It was not adequate, is not adequate to the challenge we face. And I was also going to tell you what's good and bad in the AOC Markey Green New Deal, but I've got about a minute left. Yeah, a minute left. So the last point I want to make is it's time for eco-socialism. As Kali Acuna, who in an interview on the Green New Deal said it's eco-socialism or death, he's right. We need economic democracy based on social ownership of the major means of production, democratic planning to produce sufficient so everybody gets their basic needs, but we end the growth dynamic that issues out of capitalism, and we reintegrate the cities and the countryside with a agricultural and rural reconstruction revolution around organic agriculture and diversified manufacturing in small towns based on clean agricultural feedstocks, in an urban revolution based on walkable, mixed-use neighborhoods, free mass transit, much more public housing, and the desegregation of our communities by race and class. We need deep military spending cuts to help finance this. And look, we face an emergency. We faced an emergency in World War II. The U.S. nationalized 25% of manufacturing to turn industry on a dime to build the arsenal of democracy that defeated the Axis of the German Nazis, the Italian fascists, and the Japanese imperialists. We can ask for nothing less with the existential threat we face now from climate change.